Hi friends, this is nature recordist Lang Elliott. Welcome to Spring Peepers and Autumn Pipers, an episode of the Music of Nature radio podcast series. This is a story about two frogs. Well, sort of. One with which you may already be familiar, the spring peeper, and the other which you and nearly everyone, including the experts, have probably never heard of. The Autumn Piper. A frog that no one has ever heard of? Well, I'll get back to that little detail later. But first, let's consider the spring peeper. If you live in the eastern half of the United States or Canada and spend time outdoors, you're probably familiar with this common and widespread species. The spring peeper is a tiny, brownish, semi-arboreal chorus frog, about an inch to an inch and a half long, that breeds in swampy areas, including ponds, pools, and ditches, after the first warm spring rains. It is often the first frog to be heard in the spring. The spring peeper's scientific name is Pseudacris crucifer. Pseudacris is the genus name for the chorus frog group, and crucifer refers to the cross-like pattern on the frog's back. As you might guess, the spring peeper is named for the breeding call of the male, a loud chirp or peep that is usually repeated every second or two. During breeding season, the male has a balloon-like vocal pouch on his lower jaw, which is inflated when he sings. Finding a calling male is harder than you may think. They're tiny, and they hide among clumps of grass and other emergent vegetation. The calls are so loud that a singing male often seems to be much farther away than he actually is. So how does one home in on a male? Well, it helps to have two people searching, both with flashlights. Closing in on a single male, it's best to turn off one's flashlight so as not to disturb the singer. Have a friend approach from a different direction, preferably at a right angle to your position. When you're both fairly close, signal one another, turn on your flashlights and shine them in the direction of the sound. Where the two beams cross is the male's position, but you may still have trouble finding him, especially if he's hiding under something. There he is. See his vocal pouch reflecting light as he sings? From a distance, a chorus of spring peepers is pleasant to behold, reminding some of the tinkling of distant sleigh bells. The chorus of peepers often provides a sparkling backdrop that enlivens and supports the sounds of other species, such as these echoing calls of loons on a northern lake. Listen now how the peepers complement the lilting songs of a lone robin sounding off at dusk. That's really beautiful. Quite meditative, in fact. But let's switch gears and talk about some interesting singing behavior. When two males are calling in close proximity to one another, it is common for them to alternate songs. This is called countersinging. Did you hear that single grating note near the end? Well, that's the spring peeper's aggression call. Males often respond like that when they get too close to one another. Here are two males trading aggression calls. Upon hearing this call for the first time, some people think they're hearing a different species of chorus frog. The peeper's breeding season draws to a close in late spring. The males quit singing, and both sexes return to land. With the help of their sticky toe pads, peepers often climb shrubs and trees in search of insect prey. Though common, they are difficult to find, unless you're lucky enough to spot one hopping on the ground or perched on understory leaves. As summer unfolds, we soon forget their vibrant springtime choruses and instead enjoy the coming of the insect singers, such as this ground cricket, sounding off underfoot as a cardinal sings in the background. But then, as autumn approaches, we may be mystified when we hear occasional series of peeps, often with a hoarse, shrill quality, erupting without warning here and there in the forest, especially on moist days. Bird watchers are often confused by these peeps, thinking they're produced by birds. But the truth is, these are the autumn calls of no other than the spring peeper. But why call them spring peepers when they're sounding off in the autumn? Wouldn't it be better to call them a name appropriate to the season? Well then, how about autumn pipers? Yeah, I rather like that. Autumn pipers. Scientists are not sure why males sound off in the autumn, but they think it has to do with hormonal changes that help ready males for their sudden and explosive breeding activities the following spring. So there you have it, spring peepers and autumn pipers. One and the same species, though seasonally different in name and behavior. Now, before I sign off on the peepers and pipers, I invite you to join me outdoors for a little history lesson. It's early November in the rolling hills of upstate New York, not far from where I live. I'm sitting next to a small brook in the forest, and I'd like to tell you a story. You may wonder how I came up with the name Autumn Piper. Well, I must confess, I did not dream it up myself. Nope, I borrowed it from William Hamilton Gibson, an accomplished naturalist, artist, and author from Connecticut, who lived from 1850 to 1896. Gibson, who was quite well known in his time, wrote numerous books and also published many articles, all of them illustrated with his fabulous drawings and paintings. I own several of his books, and my favorite is Sharp Eyes, A Rambler's Calendar, a collection of 52 essays that follow the unfolding of the seasons. One of his essays is entitled The Autumn Pipers, and therein Gibson describes the shrill autumn call of the spring peeper, which he refers to as Hylodes, a name no longer used for the species. To quote, "It proceeds somewhere from the boughs over our heads, a note that brings back the spring again. For this is the same shrill peep that ushers in April from the ripples of the swamp. The Hylodes, now turned acrobat, as much at home here among the trees as we saw him in the bog last March. We hear his pipe, and occasionally catch a glimpse of the piper jumping across the brown dead leaves, himself as brown as they, but the piper and the pipe are rarely caught together." Nice, huh? Ever since I stumbled across Hamilton's essay, I've been trying to convince naturalists far and wide to name our little pseudacris crucifer according to the season in which he is heard. Sure, call him spring peeper during the springtime breeding season, but when you hear his shrill notes coming from trees and shrubs in autumn, it seems only fair to christen him the Autumn Piper. This is Lang Elliott. Thank you for joining me as I celebrate the voices of the natural world